The lamplight gleamed on the hairs of his bare arms, turning them to gold. The thunder murmured. Then Eddie's eyes closed, and he laid his head to one side. His work was finished. He had left the path, stepped into the clearing. They sat around him, a circle, but Ka-Tet no more. 12. And so, 30 minutes later, Roland, Jake, Ted, and Shimi sat on a bench in the middle of the mall. Danny Rostov and the bankerly-looking fellow were nearby. Susanna was in the bedroom of the Proctor suite, washing her husband's body for burial. They could hear her from where they were sitting. She was singing. All the songs seemed to be ones they'd heard Eddie singing along the trail. One was Born to Run, another was The Rice Song from Caliber and Sturgis. "We have to go, and right away," Roland said. His hand had gone to his hip and was rubbing. Jake had seen him take a bottle of aspirin, gotten God knew where, from his purse and dry-swallow 3. "Shimi, will you send us on?" Shimi nodded. He had limped to the bench, leaning on Dinky for support, and still none of them had had a chance to look at the wound on his foot. His limp seemed so minor compared to their other concerns. Surely, if Shimi Ruiz were to die this night, it would be as a result of opening a makeshift door between Thunderside and America. Another strenuous act of teleportation might be lethal to him. What was a sore foot compared to that?
"I'll try," he said. "I'll try my very hardest. So I will."
"Those who helped us look into New York will help us do this," Ted said.
It was Ted who had figured out how to determine the current when on America's side of the Keystone World. He, Dinky, Fred Worthington, the bankerly-looking man, and Danny Rostov had all been to New York and were all able to summon up clear mental images of Times Square, the lights, the crowds, the movie marquees, and most important, the giant news ticker which broadcast the events of the day to the crowds below, making a complete circuit of Broadway and 48th Street every 30 seconds or so.